This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
Sounders Scuttlebutt. This is going to be the first episode of the season that myself, Aaron Lingley, and I usually say as always, but now it's you and me, Cameron.
Yeah, mostly.
El Presidente.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. I had a backup scheduled, ready to go if you were unable to make it to the game and perform great.
Harry Potter.
No, that's Back to the Future. I will silence my phone. You'd think that after I'm in my 26th year of radio, where we have to always silence our phone, you'd think I would be past this at this point. But I guess I didn't have a cell phone when I started because I wasn't carrying around a cell phone in 1999.
Rookie.
Yeah. But you know, happy to have you back here and have you probably during the daylight hours is good because you're a little more awake than you might be as the girl dad you've become has to take care of little ones all day, every day at this point.
Well, one in particular all day, every day. Yeah, I am a dad of now two daughters.
Yeah, isn't your older daughter old enough?
Two weeks and 3 hours.
Oof. Put Gracie on it. Have her take care of the little one.
She's at daycare and we need her to be. Yeah, it's nonstop. We're doing great though. It's just been we're just going with the flow, riding the wave. You know, every 3 hours, got to feed, getting about a total of 4 hours a night, broken up in half. I'm like falling on the sword to allow my wife to like recover, and it's been 2 weeks, so she's doing great right now. So we're kind of getting a little bit more even on the coverage, so to speak. But for the first like 2 weeks there, I'm like she gets up, does feeding, and then I do the rest of the feeding and soothe her and let her go back and let Randy go back to sleep. But whoa, man. Yeah. I'm sorry. I missed the last episode.
Nicholas and I
decided to do one before the first step. Yeah. I didn't listen to it. I'm sorry.
It's long. We talked a lot. You put two people who talk a lot together. We talked a lot.
I know. I saw that. I was like, whoa, you're giving me this the day before the match, and it's an hour and a half.
It was wrong. Yeah, it was an hour 40. It was super long. But now, long. But you have a beverage to help you with today's show, as do I. I'm sticking with my old classic Liquid Death, but this time I'm going with the Rest in Peach Iced Tea. I'm going to murder my thirst today.
Liquid Death.
That's delicious. What are you drinking, sir?
I'd love a beer right now, but Yeah, it would. So I'm shifting. It's still going to get the nice sound effect. But Costco does it again with Kirkland's signature cold brew coffee. 100% Colombian, just like Freddie Montero.
Oh, I had my...
And this should help smooth out the show, or at least my speaking, which already is terrible. I can't even come up with anything. But neither could really the sounders.
Seventh cup. I had my seventh cup of coffee the other day, ever.
Definitely wasn't yesterday where you slept for 20 hours.
No. A weekend or so ago. Canada just scored in the Gold Cup on go up 3-0. I have it on in the background here. It's only in Spanish, so it doesn't matter that I have it muted because no comprende. they're playing Costa Rica, I should say. Yeah, soccer. Woo!
Okay.
So you were able to watch. Soccer. Yeah, you were able to watch some, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was the kickoff was like timed up perfectly with like I was able to kind of do the bottle feeding. We're kind of doing both feeding, but TMI. Mommy's milk and bottles. But
no, see, that, anyway, information when it was fine before, and then you were like, you know, when the baby's getting on there,
mommy, booby.
yeah. No, that you know, that's good. That you're almost to the coffee. Stage where you can take the baby anywhere, and it just sits there quietly and sleeps. A few more weeks.
Yeah, I mean, she sleeps nonstop except when we're feeding her. But anyway, yeah. So my duties were like just wrapping up, and then Randy's like, yeah, just go watch it. She's gonna be asleep for 2 hours, and sure enough she was. So I just went into our bedroom, had the flat screen up, brought two beers in there with me, one per half, and yeah, watched it pretty much live. I was a little behind, so I stayed off the socials, but was able to get on our Discord, link in the show description, and give my takes just after the match. And yeah, Sounders lost 2-1 against what looked to be a fully healthy LAFC squad. And they were in Los Angeles. And we stumbled into the first match from injury news after injury news after injury news. And then Rusnak was the latest victim of injury before kickoff, the day before or day of scratch.
Day before
ankle, right?
Yeah, he injured his ankle in the final practice. So
that was the killer, I thought.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, we're always going to miss Joao Paulo, but if you're missing him and Rusnak, there's no one to run the midfield. It's like playing a third-string quarterback at that point.
Yeah. So, yeah, they lost the first match, but I'm not panicking, and I don't think you are. We haven't really talked about it. We're going to save it all for the microphones, but I think we'll get into what we thought of that match and then go into Austin here after some scuttlebutt, but some big news dropped today. I know. Regarding a new addition to the team.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you didn't think Ferrari was going to do it, but, they're bringing over Lewis Hamilton.
That's right. It's F1 it's huge. Yeah.
No,
and not a 1 day contract. That is that is multi-year starting next year. But yeah, it is F1 Ozzie. Season, everyone. Sorry.
It just started. Ozzy's back for 1 day, one-day contract. Now here's the thing though. I assume that he's going to sign for 1 day and just wave to us from the field. We could use him maybe.
We could really fucking use him. Yeah.
Can he come on the field and play one game?
What day is it? Is it Saturday?
I think it is. I mean, yeah.
Really?
It is Saturday. Yeah, he's coming Saturday.
Jeez. Okay, great. Yeah. I mean, there's a chance.
So Ozzy, the absolute legend of Sounders soccer.
El Corazon.
Yep. Maybe it's recency bias. I don't have him as my number one all-time Sounders player anymore. Certainly top two or three, though. He's up there. So because we've had some pretty talented players since then as well. I don't know. It's going to be really emotional for me. I gotten to meet him a bunch of times. He's such a good dude. And I'm just so excited they're doing it right and bringing him back. And letting him celebrate that one last game as a Sounder.
Yeah. I'm bummed I won't be there for obvious reasons. But No, I think this is it's really special. He was arguably, yeah, one of the all-time great. I think you gave it
I think
Nico.
When he left, he was the all-time
great. Yeah, when he left, he was. But then obviously the silverware we were able to get with Nico.
Yeah.
Directly related to his arrival. Literally hit the ground running, right? So, but from day one of MLS Sounders to the day he left, he was consistent. He was feared in the midfield by opponents, and he was a true leader for our team, and which we needed in to be a brand new club that had no MLS history, right? So we didn't have anything to go off of but creating our own history, and he was critical for us to get four open cups, and he one of my favorite just goals that the Sounders have ever scored was his open cup goal in the final at home
right
against Chicago, right?
Yeah, against Chicago, right in front of me. I was in Gorilla FC section 120. And so if you watch the replay on TV, you see me and Sam Chesno run from about the third row down to the first row, just going nuts right there next to ECS. What a goal. I mean, there's so many things he did that we'd never forget, but that's got to be up there for the fourth U.S. Open Cup. It felt like we were never going to lose a U.S. Open Cup. I mean, we won 4 and 6.
That wasn't the fourth one.
I thought that was the fourth. Was that the third?
I think so.
Was Columbus the fourth?
Fourth was against Philly, right?
I don't even remember anymore. They all get confused.
That doesn't really matter, but yeah.
First was Washington. The one, yeah. But we had two in Quest Field. Or whatever it was called at the time. I don't think
Westfield, well,
CenturyLink field, but yeah,
at
I mean
Seahawks it, Stadium.
Yeah, I wish it was still called Seahawks Stadium.
It's
going to be emotional. It's going to be cold though too. So I wish it was a nicer day, but I'm sure he'll come around. I'm hoping this means he's going to stick around and be part of the 50 year anniversary celebration.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know if it's been gone long enough that I don't know if he's still got any roots tied here in town, but people tend to always come back, right?
This was home, major league home. I guess he played in Charleston for a couple of years before he came here. But from Cuba, this is where he brought his family.
Yeah.
Eventually his dad, everyone, and he's special to us. So, they disallowed that Canadian goal earlier. Sorry, everyone. Canada's not up 3-0. They're only up 2-0 in the women's Gold Cup.
Yeah, well, no one's tuning in three or 4 days later for your.
Yeah, maybe go watch it. ESPN Plus. You can watch the replay. Other big news, because we could talk about Aussie forever.
Yeah,
is that the Eric Ramsey, the assistant coach of Manchester United, is going to become the head coach of Minnesota United. So Minnesota United making a big splash. I was actually, they announced it 2 days ago, but it was confirmed yesterday by Manchester United. I'm surprised it took that long for them to hire a coach. Like, the season's starting.
When did they let go of Adrian,
near the end of last season, I think. I don't think
it was during the season, though, wasn't it? Yeah, because I remember being like,
"Oh,
okay."
Coaches went. So that's some big news. And the other big news, of course, is that the refs lockout continues. There's been some harassment that's occurred where now the union. Not pro referees, but in the NSLR, whatever it is, not that's the NLRB is the National Labor Relations, not that one, but whatever there's two different unions, right? There's the pro referees. And then I think the pro soccer PSRL or something, that one has been accused of malfeasance. And basically a lot of these referees are college referees and they're not going to allow them to do the head of that is interfering with their jobs and saying, because you're a scab here in the pros, we're going to prevent you from getting college jobs, even though he has no oversight over that. So, it's messed up. Didn't come out good. Of course, I don't know where you stand on it. Nicholas and I both talk about being pro-union, but you know, it's a complicated one. There were some mistakes, including a hilarious one that cost LA Galaxy the game by getting a second yellow card on what probably shouldn't have been. And then you saw Miami come back, Messi with a beautiful goal to tie it. Mm. And I would say, though, I don't get it. Like, people were like, the ref was awful in the Sounders match. I didn't think so. I mean, he made a few mistakes, and oh, he took so long to do VAR. Well, good. Get it right.
Yeah.
And he also wasn't looking at the penalty. He was looking at Dogso. Like, that was a penalty. And then once he looked at that, he had to go look, okay, was this the last man? Do we give a red card or a yellow card? And there's a new rule in place now that they were talking about on the broadcast. So I would rather them take extra time to get it right, because that's a game-changing player there. If he gets a red card plus you know, a penalty, that's potentially a goal plus us up a man.
Yeah. No, I wasn't upset. I mean, my takeaway was the performance of, I don't know his name, but that referee was not so much the fact that I think that he was a replacement ref. It was just like, I don't think the refereeing in this country is very good.
Yes.
I don't think, whether it's pro or scab, I don't think it's consistently inconsistent, right? I do feel like we were getting the short end of the stick in the first half on some of those fouls. If I look back on my notes,
and they weren't, he wasn't giving out cards at that point.
What I mean. I feel like there was a certainly card for exactly and for asking like, what the fuck?
This and he's be like, I'm the captain. Card. I'm the one.
Yeah,
who's supposed
I'm
to
allowed to
you.
Do this. So I think at halftime, I did. They had 9 fouls to our 1.
Yeah.
LAFC. So that's what was frustrating to me, because we were we were fighting an uphill battle going into that match. So with our lineup. So anyway, we'll get into the match, but I don't think he was terrible because he was a replacement ref. I don't think it was a fantastic performance from the center ref, but I think it wasn't anything we're not used to seeing.
No, we would have gotten the same thing with the pro referee, in my opinion. Maybe not with a couple. There's a few good ones, but as a whole, I don't see a lot of and Paul Cox, who is a ref and then also works for an agency, did point out that they do
also Lions have Council, right?
Lions Council, former Lions Council president, current Lions Council member, did point out to me that, you know, they do actually have a lot of accountability behind the scenes. But to me, it just doesn't seem to match up with their performance going forward. Then why aren't they getting better? But that's neither here nor there. I thought, with a few exceptions, the referees, they're trying to make a story out of it. And I think it's mainly because MLS wants to put pressure on pro referee or vice versa. But ultimately, the refs are fine. Like, I didn't even notice it in some of the, I forgot that first game when it was Miami versus, was it RSL? Whatever the first game of the season was.
Right.
I forgot there was even those refs there. It slipped my mind. So, and of course, Gorill FC, assuming our flag gets here in time, we'll be making a pro union statement at the match this coming Saturday. Not because we're, you know, I don't have to like a union to believe unions are important.
Yeah.
meaning I don't like those refs, but it's important that they have someone do, you know, setting it up for them properly and making sure that they get fair wages.
And I agree with that.
Yeah.
So Scuttlebutt, since we, like I started the show with, we haven't actually recorded together in
December.
For our show since December.
So last year, it's
Nick and I, you had COVID.
Year. It's been a year.
Yeah. The year joke. See you next year. So what was I getting at? Here comes the daddy brain.
Daddy brain, Scott.
Oh, we haven't gone over some other obvious scuttlebutts that dropped like 3-4 weeks ago. When did the jersey come out?
Oh yeah.
2 weeks ago?
Something like that. 3 weeks ago, maybe now.
So Long Acres is open, fully open, and we have a new primary.
I'll be
and
at Long
you
Acres
and Nick didn't on... talk about it.
No, we got too much into the weeds on other stuff and already went long, so we ran out of time.
You guys grow weeds when you speak.
Yeah, I will be, Nick and I, assuming Nick will be there in person, we'll be at Long Acres for our Alliance Council meeting this coming Tuesday. So I will see it in person, the new, brand new facility. I'm excited to see that. I'll of course report back on the show what I think of it. But
should we put a secret camera like in your?
Yeah, I'll bring a GoPro or something.
That's not very secret.
I will say that my first impression just seeing it online was they need to fire the lawnmower because those lines were not straight on the field.
I don't know.
But exciting new world-class venue. Definitely a place that one of the teams based in Seattle will be training at during the World Cup. It's one of the reasons it's there. And, you know, they even have a full, I don't know if it's a full-time barber, but they have a Sounders barber there for them to cut the hair the way they like it. Although I feel bad. I know the barbershop I used to go to before I no longer needed a barber because my hair all fell out during COVID and then my barber who was there, she did several Sounders. So the people there were doing like Lamar Nagel and some of the other ones back in the day. So I feel bad for our local barbers, but hey,
is it Valentine's?
No, it's I'm blanking on the name of it right now. I can look it up. They do a bunch of Seahawks players too. It's right down next. It's
Yedlin
next to the
went to Valentine's.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's right down next to the Costco, the main Costco there in Seattle on
Soto,
4th in Soto. Yeah. So it was a pretty great place to go, and I definitely recommend it. And I'll get the name in a second here, but.
I saw that. That's pretty cool. And so there's a lot of media coverage locally, obviously. I go to the website and you can see, you get a little tour. Jackson, our buddy, basically did a tweet walkthrough when he was there for the opening.
That's cool.
Yeah. So go check the site out. Go to Jackson out. You probably already have seen it all because it's been a couple weeks. And so maybe get some behind the scenes stuff that maybe. You know, that's not against NDA or anything like that, but maybe isn't obvious that you and Nick see next week, bring it to the show. That'd be kind of
for sure.
Any quirks in design or anything like that, that'd be kind of cool.
But and it was a quirky building to begin with, so I'm sure there is some because there was weird, like if you were on the roof, there was like a chute down that was a, what do you call those when they have glass in the skylight? There was like a skylight. There was this weird chute and stuff like that. I'm wondering if they kept that or changed it around. So we'll see.
Right. But yeah, the jersey. This is a polarizing kit. I feel like where the last two have been. Really? I see a lot of positive and a lot of negative comments.
I'm only at this point. The only negative I'm seeing is from the same old negative people on Facebook groups.
Fair enough.
Everyone else, it's hugely positive.
Okay.
And I don't know that I was positive on it. It was the first kit where I went, it's not for me. You know.
Is that how you still feel?
No.
Okay.
I tend to be a fan of ugly kits, and this may be in that category. But for me, it was a question of, you know, I got tired of the greens always being the same, right? Like the marijuana flage is probably my favorite of the newer ones. You can only do so much. I know for years they've wanted more blue involved with it. And so this is straight up like the blue is there. And it's super exciting that happened. So I just thought, well, I you know, they're aiming for youth. You know, it's the 18 to 24 year old demo because you get people hooked on it as a fashion accessory and they're going to be fans of the team for life. And then I saw the way they advertised it in terms of showing how versatile it is when you're wearing it as a fashion accessory and not just as a jersey on the pitch. And it looks good on the pitch. Won me over. I'm in favor of it now. I like it.
How is it versatile?
You go look at the advertising campaign. They showed all the different ways, all the different colors you can wear with it, where you can literally wear it in your regular wardrobe, not as like you're going somewhere wearing a jersey. It's like, oh, you're wearing a fashion piece when you're going out.
Okay.
So a lot of stuff with, you know, brown pants or other types of clothing. I was impressed the way they unveiled it. And I think, although it's not a direct retro jersey, meaning it's not an old Sounders kit. They've already done that. That's been done. It wasn't going to happen again.
The curse of the white kit.
Yeah, people don't like the white kits. They conveniently ignore the fact that, like, the Olympic white had some huge victories in U.S. Open Cup. So it's not kits. I'm totally against, even though I am superstitious in a lot of ways, blaming the kit is stupid. But I will say that this one, it's got that classic look. It totally brings it back to a 70s feel in a way that is still modern. Occasionally when I look at it, how the white stripes just go over the top of the blue and green stripes bothers me.
I was just looking at that.
That's such a small thing. I think my the biggest thing for me is the price. $200 is a lot.
Sweet baby Jesus. Yeah.
Someone made the point.
To take Providence off of it and then go add your own. Right. So,
and someone made the point that, you know, if the MLS really wanted to keep growing their product, they should be pricing these jerseys at a lower price point to get more people to wear them.
Well, you were just saying the demo is 18 to 20, whatever, right?
Yeah.
If they happen to have an apartment downtown because they walked in to their Amazon office or something like that, they can afford it.
I think I'm going to get one, right now it's not. I'm in between sizes, and so I have to get the smaller size and then just lose that weight.
No, you buy the goal size now and work towards your goal.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to buy the smaller size because I'm close, but I need another 10 to 15 pounds off. I prefer to buy things at the pro shop because the Sounders get their cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at Fanatics, they do the thing where you can do 4 payments every 2 weeks. That makes it much more affordable.
I like that.
Much more affordable, where you can put it over a couple months.
Yeah. You're not like financing or anything. It's just breaking it up.
No.
Well, I do. They're growing on me. What I did notice, and it could have just been my TV. I don't have the most up-to-date flat screen TVs. They're still good quality, but they work. And I'm one of those running into the ground and then buy brand new. Like when it breaks, I'll go buy a brand new $5,000 TV, right?
And by then, if I
and that'll work,
it'll be like $100. So
exactly, right? But my LED TV I had gotten 2009. Still, I mean, the refresh rate's terrible. It's 60, but it's still
terrible.
It still
works. No Dolby Vision.
I watch a lot of sports on my laptop, which is 4K, right? So that's my wife watches, and I watch Vanderpump with her. But you know, you don't need it to upgrade your TV for Bravo. But anyway, I was on our bedroom TV, which was actually when I got from my old hotel when we got new TVs. So that's also like almost a decade old. But when they were in the sun, it was hard to see anything any detail of the jersey. And you watched on TV. I don't know. Was that a me thing? Or because it was pretty the way the sun was setting there. I don't know if it was setting, but the way the sun was in LA, there was a good shadow across the field. Like
I didn't struggle in the sun. I struggled when it was in the shade.
Oh, weird.
I was watching on Q13. I was watching
on the
TV. Okay, yeah. Which was just the Fox broadcast, obviously. I did not.
So maybe it's Fox's fault.
Yeah, I mean, it's also it probably would have been better quality on actual Apple TV, because I think Fox loves to film it in 720 and upscale it to 1080. Which is, I don't know if that's what they were doing for this, but that's what they do for the World Cup. So they were upscaling a 720 feed, or they did have one 1080 feed that they would upscale to 4K. But either way, you're not getting full.
So maybe that's it.
There. So that could be it. And you know, Apple will be the best broadcast overall. And the stadium in LA, part of it is the way it's facing. If they had flipped it 90 degrees, then the sun wouldn't have been as much of an issue.
Yeah, maybe they're just anticipating the smog. Which, you know, it's not as smoggy as the city as it used to be.
Day games are a handful per year, right? It's not that big of a deal.
That's true. Either. And we're Seattle, right? We're not going to get too much sun. Well, yeah, 7:30 in July is quite sunny. But yeah. I actually do like him. I'm looking at just another photo of it with Christian Roldan in action against LAFC. And I do love the blue shorts, I think, actually.
They got to wear those blue shorts every time, in my opinion. I don't.
Yeah, those are sexy.
Yeah. Totally. They're
the
great.
Only thing I think is a miss, and I do like the fact that they didn't go, you said this, you know, to an actual retro jersey that was from the 70s, 80s Sounders. Yeah. They just went with the feel of retro, which I feel is like, well, if you're going 70s, get the collar on there. If a collar is done right, I think a jersey can look really, really good. Or it can look weird.
Part of that is they don't do the floppy collar anymore, I don't think, which like we had
on
the
they're not allowed to, or they
Adidas doesn't make it like that anymore, meaning when it's not in their templates. So that floppy collar like we had on the I'll say the Easter Bunny jerseys, you know what I'm talking about, the third kit from way back in the day, the Super Saiyan. So they would have to do one with a button, and players hate that. The Sounders players have made very clear because the ball is going to hit that button and it's going to hurt. So the Sounders players do not want collars then. And I think Adidas, there might be some teams with collars, but they've largely gone away from collars. But you're right. That would have made it more 70s and more, I think, even more of a fashion statement. I was kind of bummed that it wasn't blue on the collar. But, you know, it still looks good.
Yeah, I think it's a pass. I'll give it a B+. We've been spoiled with having the best jerseys in MLS multiple times. So
rate it this way. B+ overall, how was it in terms of first primary jerseys? First kit, primary, home kit.
I'd have to go back and, like, look at a bunch, but I probably would put, like, three other primaries above this one.
Interesting.
But I have a little foggy brain right now, so I can't quite name them. But I remember the one that had the blue arms during the Deuce era. I really like that one.
That was a great one.
Like 2016-17, I think, is that?
Yeah. For me, that's about on par with that one. And then I think I would put the marijuana flage above it just because I love that one. that's the thing is, I think it's in terms of our home kits, it's pretty great. You know, our original home kit was awesome, but now, like, so if we're looking at it from the points when it came out, that one would have been really high on my list, but now it's so dated and like 90s or it was 2009, early 2000s looking, even though it was late 2000s, it just doesn't stand the test of time. Whereas I think this one will. This is one you could see people wearing for quite some time.
I like it.
I want a De La Vega.
Huh?
I want a De La Vega
jersey. Oh yeah, me too. Yeah. Which leads me into let's talk about him and the team. Let's talk about the match. Yeah. Let's go into a little break here. Get to what everyone came here for. De La Vega. Okay. 2-1 loss. And we went over it. We didn't have JP. We didn't have Rusnak. We didn't have Stefan Fry. We didn't have Yamar. And those are starters. Mm-hmm. We also didn't have Brodelio, which sucks for him. He got the first team call-up. He got the contract. Wasn't able to make it. And there was another one. But in terms of what I think really affected what we were capable of... no Rusnak, late scratch. JP, not in the middle. Stefan Fry, Yamar. That's tough.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
How do you think they perform?
Andrew Thomas, I think, had a pretty great day, all things said.
I think so, too.
He, you know, our defense was super solid. Overall, he had some great saves. The second goal, I don't think there's any way he saves that. I don't think Fry saves that. That was just an amazing goal where it would have been nice if... Was it Arriaga who didn't close down on him? It would have been nice if he did, but I don't know if you, I don't know if you're stopping that regardless. And in the first goal, people were mad at Obed for not locking down before the pass.
No, that was on Nuhu.
But it was the not covering the guy who headed the ball in was the problem for me, right? Because they cross it. Obed closes down on him, but too late. Cross gets off. And the two defenders for the Sounders sitting there were arguing about, like, they both were pointing, like, oh, go get him. So I think it was one of those early season miscommunications. I didn't really see where Thomas was in terms of, he needs to be covering that side, obviously. But at that point, when you have two players and neither of them goes to defend the guy who's going to head it in, there's not much the goalie's going to be able to do.
Well, yeah, I'll jump right to that one because actually I made a note when I was watching. And that's why I said Nuhu. We almost gave up a goal early because he gave up the ball doing one of his little – I want to be a midfielder moments in midfield, like cut in, was right around the center circle, turned it over, and we got lucky.
Yeah.
And then if you watch that highlight, and they might not, you might not see it in the match highlights now, but I rewound it. You have Jackson Reagan, which this excites me because if he and Yamar are, well, they will be paired together for most of the season. This was Nathan in Yamar's place.
But Nathan,
seeing Jackson Reagan direct and communicate, especially with no Stephen Fry, he was telling Nuhu, cover that space. There's a guy right there. And it went right to him.
Jeez.
And he turned immediately to Nuhu and gave basically a Nuhu arm flail. Like, what the fuck, bro?
So that was, I told that you. Was why he was pointing, okay.
He's pointing left, like up towards that guy who headed it down while he's trying to face up with the ball swinging in. And Nuhu was in no man's land.
Yeah.
He was kind of by the post, by the 6-yard walk. Anyway, so Nuhu, I think, was the issue on that one, not Obed. I didn't even notice Obed.
Oh, Obed, it was before the cross. He left too much space to allow the cross to go.
Didn't close down.
Yeah, it didn't close down. People were mad at him, but I'm not as mad about that as cover. At least people get crosses off all the time. Cover the guy of the ball.
Cover your guy.
Yeah.
Your zone or your guy, there's no excuse for it. And when you, especially when you have someone directing you, I get if there's no direction, right? You can't have 360 view, but you've played next to Reagan for a season and a half, two seasons. There should be no communication issues right there. And he's the one I think probably given that you need to be vocal in this match because Andrew Thomas doesn't know anybody.
Right.
Right? He's going to go on full instincts for this match. And I thought he did do well and he got tested early.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if we're starting from the back here with just replacements, I gave him a good grade for his performance. That second goal was a goal of the week nominee for sure.
I mean, Andrew Thomas is our goalie of the future. As long as we can hold on to him long enough and he doesn't want to move on, he's playing every match at, I was going to say S2, at Tacoma Defiance to be the guy when Fry retires in 2 years.
Yeah. Well, shit. I mean, that was one performance, but I mean, to be kind of shoved in there, he got steely hands. There was Buonga. Like rocketed a shot from only like 15 yards out, maybe a little less than that, right at his chest, and he just caught it both hands.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, that's usually a parry that motherfucker away. And they even commented like, great hands by Thomas on that one.
Also,
he's an
athlete. He didn't even start playing soccer until later, I guess. You know, I think he was born in Russia and then moved to England. So little suspect maybe.
He's an agent,
but he was a cricket player. He was like a youth professional or like not professional, but in the youth like system. So that he
like
could,
on the track to be one.
Yeah, and to be in the national team. He was on the youth national team and youth all-star teams. And so he was an all around athlete. So it's pretty cool to see him coming up and finally getting a chance, you know, albeit maybe not under the circumstances we want, but I thought he was great. I thought Nathan after basically, being out all last season and half the year before with injury, he looked phenomenal. And the way that
he had to bust,
The track back, whew,
yeah,
saved a goal.
He had to bust some ass.
Yeah, he knew that when the ball went wide and Thomas missed it, he had to keep running and he put himself in the right position. I was impressed repeatedly with his positioning and him, the way he cleared the ball out away from behind the or in front of the goal. Like, this is a guy who would be starting for most teams, but because of his injury, we're like giving him a second chance. So the fact that we now have three genuine starters at center back and we can cycle through them so they're not tired is amazing. I mean, this is back to the Kim Keehee, Roman Torres, Chad Marshall days.
Yeah, good comparison. Yeah, because last year that would have been probably Sissoko taking his place, or
Arriaga.
Wow, at times. Brain fart. Arriaga,
which Arriaga we did
starting.
See.
We did see, but he didn't start.
No, and he immediately turned over the ball and was involved in that play that allowed their second goal. So,
And another. I think that was it the first or second? When did Chu go down and stayed?
That was after the second goal.
Was that the second goal?
People were
because
upset about that, but I didn't have a problem. You were gonna get mad.
I do. Okay. I when especially in. I don't know. When you know you're not getting it, and you are in a position, literally, if you were on your feet, you are opening up the defense and the attack. Like, we still had possession. We needed you to get on your feet so we could get something going up. But I mean, he stayed even after the turnover. I think if he stays standing up, you know, he could have actually really been like hurt enough where it's like,
legitimately, because he would get up in that position knowing that we still have the ball. Otherwise, he wouldn't stop an attack. Yeah. He would have gotten up. I think he was legitimately hurt, and that's why you saw him when he got up. He was gingerly walking. He didn't start running right away. I was actually
you have to be whether it was a real injury or not. You better be ginger, because then we're all really pissed.
I don't know why.
So I'll give the benefit of the doubt.
They don't need him. You still have other players in the attack and on the wings. They should have kept pushing forward with him down. They shouldn't have stopped. Or if they're going to stop, kick it out of bounds, and then they have to give us the ball back. The way they did it just ended up there being a turnover right after that, and then led to them having a dangerous chance. I was frustrated that they stopped. I felt like the Sounder should have, but we were terrible on the attack all day long. We could get it up there, and then once we were in front of the goal, we couldn't do anything.
Per the usual.
I mean, it was worse than usual, though. It was like no one wanted to take that shot. They were passing it. Or the one time Jordan did, he kicked it the wrong, he didn't kick it where he should have. De La Vega changed everything, though. Once he came on, we look like the team that everyone thinks is winning the Supporters Shield this year. Like
Well, let's get to him in a second, because some other things happened before he even hit the field. Sure. Like Mr. 100 matches with the Sounders.
Ooh. So
Raul Ruiz Diaz leaves the game injured.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything.
And we're not even talking. Didn't even talk about the formation that Schmetzer rolled out either. So because we had Obed and Atencio starting in the middle, and we had the classic 4-4-2, right? With which we mentioned, obviously not with the lineup, them up top playing together.
I like 4-4-2. I think last year when we tried it, it was right when Ruiz Diaz came back from injury, and so they were not ready to play next to each other. And I still don't think they're fully ready to play next to each other, but I think it could be done.
Yeah, I'm not excited after that, but there's nothing really to.
There was no midfield to get them the ball. That's the thing.
Exactly.
We had zero. We were constantly overmatched in the midfield, whether it was on offensive transitions or defensive transitions. The only way we were getting the ball up the field for the most part was on the wings. We couldn't do anything in the middle, which makes sense, right? When you have two of the best players in the league in their positions, in Jao Paulo and Rusnak, not being in their lineups, and you're replacing them with, I love Obed, but he's not played much since his injury. And when he did, he was pushing forward a lot. So it's because he knew he had someone solid back behind him. And was it Atencio he started next to? Atencio just didn't look great for this game. I don't know if it's because he's used to having Jao Paulo next to him and he can move around more or what, but he looked uncomfortable.
I think both of them looked uncomfortable pushing as far up as sometimes they needed to be. I don't think that either of them knew who should be pushing the attack versus
they could be the future of it, though. That could be the future of that position. They're just not there.
Well, look, I mean, step back 30,000 feet of the whole match. They were full strength, and we certainly weren't. And the midfield's probably the most important part of your team. Yeah. They both prevent, you know, deep, you know, turnover or counterattacks and can start some on their own and distribute, right? And we didn't play poorly.
No. The game is completely different if they don't score right before the half.
Exactly. So I just think they just looked unsure of what to do at pretty much every moment. They were playing with their, you know, running around as full effort, right. And they looked, and they're talented players, yeah. Right?
And Nathan that, and there's a Reagan reason had they to work started. Because of it. Like you saw them having
exactly.
to make amazing stops.
Yeah. I am curious because this is the first match of the season. And for all we heard, De La Vega's early January injury wasn't really anything big, right? We talked about it. Might actually be a little smoke and mirrors a little bit just to not risk anything while he was still with Lanús. But why in this situation, if we had a full strength squad, I get maybe why you don't start him. Why in this situation when we need that extra midfielder and maybe put Christian in the middle, why was De La Vega not starting?
I mean, they talked about it. He's not 90-minute match fit. He's not even 60-minute match fit. Because he had an injury. He hasn't been playing. I mean,
he played in November. He played 90 minutes in November just like everybody
sure,
else.
Sure, but they're not putting in the same amount of in preseason, they're not putting in the same amount of energy as they might in a regular season games. He
straight up 10 said, other field players.
He said I'm not nearly physically fit. That's the thing. That's how good he was at 30%.
When he's not, yeah. And that's fine if that's the reason, because then, yeah, you don't start him. I'm just otherwise. Overall, like...
Yeah, they would start him otherwise.
It's hard for me to believe, and I will believe it, but it's hard for me to believe that there's 9 other field players that were in the same training camp, same preseason, have Knox too, you know, that started. And
yeah, I just who's he gonna start over, right? You're gonna play Obed. You're gonna play
put Obed on the bench and Christian rolled on with Atencio.
I mean, but he doesn't have
put him up top on
even
the right.
If he were healthy, I don't think they have the comfortability with the team as much. Those guys have been playing together for a while.
Neither did Obed.
In the game, they looked like year. It, but they've played together for years now. You know what I mean? Like they were
fair enough
in the academy system together and. I think
it's hindsight. Yeah. I wasn't pissed
he
off when I saw the lineup.
I'm not ready. I don't have that in me right now. But the fact that that's what we got for 30 minutes was fantastic. Imagine what we're going to get when we get 90 minutes of that. Imagine when he's fully fit and comes on that field and immediately just starts tearing it up.
Yeah, fully fit, 22-year-old Argentine fringe national player.
I think the question becomes – what happens to Leo Chu? This is going to be his.
That'll be the conversation all season.
Yeah. Can Leo step up? Here's the thing is when you're a player, you have two opportunities. When someone comes in who's going to potentially start over you or they do start over you, are you going to step up and push them for that job or are you going to give up? And if he steps up and pushes him, he has a place in the squad. If he doesn't, I think the team will move on. Not this year, but.
Well, not during the season this year, right? But his contract's up
after
this
season,
right?
Yeah. Well, it's because he falls off the U-20, whatever the U-21 player or U-22 player, whatever it is. This is his last season.
Yeah, that other rule I confused with De La Vega's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't want to talk about the rules right now.
So he will cost more against the cap moving forward if we choose to sign him. He'd probably be a TAM-level player if he sticks around, but that's a good problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Sounders have invested a lot of money into him, which is why they're not willing to let him go for nothing. If a team wants him, they have to come in and pay what he's worth.
Yeah, and I still have hope there because obviously I say I'm his father because I want to see him do well.
I mean, especially
and he's fun to watch when he's on.
Yeah, and the U.S. Open Cup news that is supposedly coming out today. I haven't seen it yet, but the Sounders likely will be in U.S. Open Cup this year. I think that right now the word is through reporters on Twitter, and these like legit, like I'd have to look up exactly who it is. I think it was an ESPN reporter, is that we'll have 8 MLS teams in it, and the Sounders would be one of those eight because it's the they go through all of the Supporter Shield winners over the last X number of years, and then they are, if you're in the Champions League, you don't have to play in it, but otherwise you do. Okay. So it'd be like Seattle, Kansas City, a few other teams. So supposedly there's going to be eight MLS teams involved.
It's like you need a good excuse not to be in it.
Yeah, I would like a lot more, but I think all of the teams should be in there. Hoo boy, but I do see Lamar Nagel, as I tried to pull it up, wearing the new Ballard FC top here. I don't think the computer is going to allow it.
Screen on screen doesn't work. Yeah,
sometimes it does. I'll send it to you.
Put it in the Discord. Put it in the Discord.
Track jacket. Yeah, I'll put it in the Discord. It is beautiful. I'm we talked about it last show, though. I'm a little worried because I'm much closer to West Seattle than I am to Ballard. And with the West Seattle Junction FC coming in this season, and their sponsor
up the other bridge.
Yeah. And their sponsor, I think their jersey sponsor is Easy Street Records. So. Ooh, yeah, cool. So it's like, yeah. I'm going to root for both. When they play each other, who knows what will happen. I'm going to root for both. Yep, just got that in the Discord. Make sure to go over to the Discord and check those out. Definitely, Ballard FC wants to know if it's dripping or tripping, because that's what Hercules Gomez always asks. It's clearly dripping. I'm going to get one.
Oh, okay, I'm corny. All right. Well, some other things I noticed on De La Vega's jersey. I had never noticed a debut badge.
Oh, I didn't notice that. No, he had a MLS debut badge.
Yeah.
Where was it?
On his right.
On his chest?
Right, like opposite the Sounders.
Oh, yeah, that's like just amazing. Like
shoulder, right pec. Yeah. So
I wonder
also Hugo Lloris.
Yeah, Thomas.
He had a debut along with Andrew Thomas, yeah. Right? So the complete opposite ends of the spectrum playing against each other.
Right.
And we first talked
ever
about
MLS game versus World Cup champion.
One of the greatest goalkeepers of all time. Yeah. And Andrew Thomas, he had to start in front of the 3,252.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Like that's my dad. That's my dad joke there, the 3,252. And I also thought the little note I made, strategic of the front office to not retain Aaron Long many moons ago, so De La Vega can score his first goal in his debut.
Oh, I like that little debut badge. That's cool. Where do we find one to get it on the jersey, though, is the question. Because I want that jersey, but then I want to get that debut. I think I'm going to be looking on eBay and stuff for that, because that will be super cool to find.
Yeah. You know what I really want? What's that? For you to laugh at my front office joke.
I was looking at the...
Did you just not listen?
I didn't. You said something about the front office in 3,252. What did you say? What's your dad joke?
I thought... Well, I... Forget the 3,252 one, because that's...
I was still thinking about that one.
I said it was very... Okay, well, I said it was strategic of the front office to not retain Aaron Long many moons ago.
Oh.
So that he...
So he could allow...
Can allow De La Vega to score his first goal in his debut.
I mean, Aaron Long's an interesting player. He actually would be on the Sounders right now if LAFC hadn't come in and outbid us last minute last year when we tried to sign him. So, great player. But yeah, that works out.
Great name.
Yeah. I like him.
That's all I got.
Yeah, it's a good game. I mean, I was disappointed, obviously, especially down 2-0. I think our goal makes it look a little closer than it was overall, but maybe you could argue the same thing for their goals. We just didn't look like we had a lot of creativity, and we didn't look like we were going to score. Until De La Vega came on.
Until De La Vega came on, right? Yeah. So that's exciting that we can have that novice of a lineup. I don't know a better way to put it. We just didn't have we didn't have the lineup I think can compete with for wins.
Yeah.
But you never know when you can throw punches if you might land one, right? So it looked like we might get lucky with that penalty to actually steal a point. But it didn't happen, and I'm not upset about it because of the cards we had to play. I am excited for Saturday because do you think De La Vega should be starting this one?
I mean, I don't know. I think the question always is, because he's probably not.
We don't know the injuries yet.
Yeah, and he's not going to be match fit. still 90 minute, but do you start him and get, you know, 45, 60 minutes out of him? Or
sub him off.
Yeah, and sub him off. Or do you throw him in at halftime and then everyone's tired and he's just out there running circles around him?
Yeah, I think you got to start him. And that's fine. Don't play full 90. You have full control of getting him out of the match when the clock is up, right? But to have a home debut, I feel like you need to walk out.
Yeah.
See, have the boom, boom clap. Have the red carpet. Look around the stadium. This is why you came to Seattle. And not come around the side and sit there and wait. I mean, there's going to be TIFO. Presumably.
There's going to be...
Right? Get the full...
Yeah, and there'll be whole... I know there's festivities, pregame festivities. I believe that I'm taking part in them. I don't know anything about it, though. I was just asked to. So there's going to be pregame festivities for the 50-year anniversary on the field. Stuff going on. It's going to be a big deal.
Get in early.
Yeah. And
but, yeah, having a home crowd. I think you should start.
Yeah. I would like to see him... start, I think, too. You know, unless they think he hasn't challenged Chu enough for the job in practice. To me, no matter what we see, we know that Schmetzer goes based on what he sees in practice. Yeah. Sometimes I don't get it.
Well, and between JP, yeah, between JP and Rusnak being injured for this match and missing it completely, like,
are they
fully expect the LAFC?
Oh, okay.
From them not even being available to play because of their injuries, that. Maybe one of them starts on the bench, and there you don't even have a question of Leo Chu or De La Vega in the starting lineup. You can put them both in there because De La Vega can play pretty much anywhere in the middle or on the wing. So
here you want to know?
We'll see.
Before we finish up with the Austin side of it, I typed in Sounders injury news into Google just to see what comes up, and. It now Google has generative AI built into it. So this is apparently the latest injury news for the Sounders. You want to hear it? This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
February 23rd, 2024, Albert Rusnak suffered an ankle injury during a training session before the LAFC game. February 26th, 2024, W. Sand is out with a knee injury and M. Farsi is questionable with an ankle injury. Now they don't play for us. João Paulo ruled out against LAFC due to a hip injury. Chad Marshall, Seattle Sounders defender, has a meniscus surgery. Jordan Morris, Seattle Sounders forward, has spoken about his ACL injury that kept him out in 2018. Brian Schmetzer confirming that Handwala Buana has a midfoot sprain but no timetable for return. Thanks, AI.
So there's no chance Handwala's going to make it?
No.
Oh, dang it.
I don't even know if he's still in Nashville. I was enjoying seeing him get his shots in Nashville, but...
Well, based on that return of inquiry, Skynet is not anywhere near taking over the world. Yeah.
AI will get better, but it's kind of scary right now.
It's pretty bad.
You know,
Chad, get off the couch. Come on, buddy.
I'm hoping that Yamar will be back. You know, who knows if he's 90 minutes fit, but it would be nice to see him in there. Obviously, Nathan took a little tweak there, so we need to know what's going on with him. We need to know what's going on with Rui Diaz. No one has mentioned. Usually, he posts when he's actually hurt, so I don't know if he's really hurt.
I know. I made a joke of that on our Discord.
Oh, really?
And I was That's like, funny. We'll find out how he's doing on his Instagram from the plane.
But we didn't.
It's usually an ankle and a window.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything, so I'm assuming it's not anything serious. He just tweaked something and was tired. So we'll see. It's hard with these injuries and know what to expect, but you know, with Atlanta coming to town, big home opener, Atlanta, excuse me, Austin, a different 18.
Austin. Yeah.
You know, Austin they're interesting because last year they were decent and I thought they would still be good, but they're being expected to be more towards the bottom in most of the league or the West in most predictions that I'm seeing. So I'm wondering, and maybe that's because of injuries. Dri Uyisi is still out, who's one of their star midfielders.
No, he's their best player.
By far, yeah. What do you think, I guess, they lost their best player, period, in Will Bruin, who retired a few weeks ago. So no Will Bruin. Hopefully he's on hand for the match, since it is two of his teams going at it. What are you expecting out of the Sounders in this home match with injuries and kind of you know, not knowing what we're going to get, obviously we don't totally know, but what do you want to see?
I want to see that. Again, I want Delavega to start because of what we were able to see in that last third of that match. And the issue we've had for 1 year and one match is being able to, unable to unlock a goal scoring opportunity that's like quality. The stats show we have shots on goal, an expected goal of 1 point whatever. But like watching the match, it was so frustrating again to see us get all the way down there and recycle and turnover. And that's that. I expect if we can get one of those midfielders back, whether it's JP or Rusnak, and have De La Vega start, I think that that is going to be hopefully the key that unlocks that. And that's what I expect for us to see in a home opener. I'm balancing between expect and want, right. But it's due. It's fucking due. And we need to win. We can't go. It's a long season. But I was so excited for this season to start and to have that kind of like starting in the mud for the first match. Those are the cards we were handed. That's fine. But I want to be able, I really hope the injury statuses improve and that we at least get either JP or Albert back and able to start to allow us to move the ball and get dangerous. And I think this is a good matchup to be able to, we're a good enough team to dominate possession. We had better possession than LAFC, who had a better squad than us. We just didn't do as much with it as they did. Yeah. And I think this is our opportunity at home, under the lights, home opener, 50th, new player, and a probably not going to be in the playoffs, Austin. And if Druisi isn't playing, I mean, he's got, what was the stats I saw? 38 goals. Let me see. It was 38 goals, 17 assists, and 79 career games with them. So if he's not able to play, this should be a 2-3-0 win.
Yeah, and Vegas agrees with you. I guess this is a new thing we're doing on the show because I did it last week, bringing up the Vegas odds. And, you know, they have Seattle as the favorite. So you have to put down $175 to win 100 because it's -175. And then if you put down Austin, you put down 100, you win 440. So basically they have the Sounders at a, what's the act? 57.4% chance of winning the match. So more likely than not. Austin,
more of a coin flip,
but Austin has a 19.9, so 20% chance of winning, and then a draw is at 22.7.
That's right. Okay, I'm usually when I hear like odds and stuff like that, it's usually basketball or NFL. So I don't. It's either win or lose, right?
Yeah.
Most of the time, so I'm like 54% is more of a pick 'em. No, for soccer, that's you should we should win. Okay.
So we have a what's that? 54 plus 22. 55, 36, 77% chance of,
radio
of getting a point.
Well, I think we should get three.
Right. And the over under is currently sitting at under 2.5 goals, very slightly. If you put down $100, you win 110. So
I said 2.5.
Yeah,
look at that.
Yeah. So, I think that's more of a function of soccer. And amount of goals scored more than actual odds on that. Because last match, there was three goals scored, so it did the over. And so anyone who bet the over would have won. It was also over-under was set at under 2.5 being the better odds. But this is barely better odds. So they're considering this to be, I guess, a 2-3 goal game total.
What about you?
You know, the injuries are going to be key for us. You know, missing Druisi is bad, but if they have all their other players, I could see them having some success. I think if we get, De La Vega starting or two starters back, and I won't say Fry because I think Thomas is fine. If we get two field players back, I think we should win. But if we don't, we may have to be happy with a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, if it's the same, similar or same lineup, let's just see what happens. It's crapshoot. Enjoy the match.
Yeah, I mean, like, we could still win.
You know, we were supposed to lose that match against LAFC, so this would be like we should draw if we have the same lineup.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, with the same lineup, I think we get more goals in, because I think that lineup can score a goal. They just were playing against LAFC, who's one of the better teams in the league.
Yeah.
So I think we should win either way, but I just don't have enough faith in us getting that last good, not getting the right service so that we can get someone in a dangerous position, I guess, and get a good shot off.
Yeah. Well, should we bring it into port?
Yeah, I think
our first recording together, yeah, in 2024. Oh,
hello, 2024. I'm curious about if we just have any other news. Interesting. Two things I want to talk about that we could have talked about in Scuttlebutt. One just came through now, and one I forgot to mention earlier. Don't forget, if you're a student, I know some of our folks out there listening to this are students at Seattle Pacific in particular and other places. Shout out to Jose Raze. You can get tickets now online. You don't have to wait in line for $19.74 to every home match the day of. So be sure to check that out. Soccer for All student offer. Look it up. You can get a cheap ticket if you don't already have one. Jose works for the Sounders. Jose works for the Sounders. So he doesn't.
He does?
Yeah, he doesn't need it. But others. Also, just breaking news. The Timbers have terminated their sponsorship with Dabella, which was their jersey sponsor that they have on the jerseys right now.
The pyramid scheme?
Is that what it is? I don't know what it is. But yeah, so...
I've sworn it was...
Portland Timbers have terminated the club's corporate partnership with Dabella effective immediately after learning yesterday of allegations of misconduct at the company, including a court filing that was made public on February 23rd. The Timbers and a third-party firm conducted a thorough... pre-deal vetting process, and the club did not learn of the filing until February 27th.
Oh,
this decision was
and they're a roofing company. But yeah.
We have to have our fans, supporters, partners, and employees transparently reflect and uphold the values and expectations of our community. So good on them for firing them.
I was gonna say, I mean, the shoe kind of fits. I'm surprised they did that. Seems like the perfect sponsor for Portland.
Why didn't it work other times? The CEO of Dabella was accused of sexual assault, is what happened.
That's why it was.
Excuse me. I misspoke. Sexual harassment and unwanted advances.
Harassment.
But still awful, right? Not good. So I have no idea what Dabella does, and I don't know if I ever will. So
it looks like they're roofing, and I remember that. Oh. I don't know where I got the pyramid.
Jeldwin was windows, and Dabella is roofing.
Yeah, but that's great.
It was such a big deal that they chose a local company. Ah, I remember that now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess good on you, Portland, for doing something right this time.
Yeah, well, they also won 4-1, yeah, against Colorado.
Against a Colorado team, though, that was looking good in preseason and expected to win that game pretty handily.
Well, they did not. Yeah. So that sucks. Yeah. All right. You said there was something else, or was that both?
No, those were the two. Yep.
Oh, yeah. No, you got both. Yep. You got both. And also, shout out to Raze Jose. In our Discord, he offered up Kraken tickets, $30. Yeah. So
keep an eye in there.
The Discord, because
you might. It's not just a place to talk about soccer or Sounders or other news. You can see a ticket exchange too.
Yeah, exactly. And there was some scuttlebutt. I think that like Tim threw on there, Muffin Top Model, about how much he hates Apple.
Yeah.
Sorry, we didn't get to it. We had
about
to catch
it last
up
show with him. He was
Cameron and I.
He was responding to our, I think, probably our discussion between Nick and I about his.
Oh, okay. Okay, then I don't feel so bad. Because I want people to feel like they're involved.
Yeah.
And they will be. So we're back in it. Match day one. First real episode of the regular season going.
Get your questions ready. Start putting them in the mailbag now or during the match, ready for the next episode.
Exactly. Yeah, I scroll back to basically kickoff and anything from during the match to when we start recording, we'll try to fit it in for the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And hey, everyone, do some homework. Find a friend that doesn't know about Sounders Scuttlebutt and tell them to fucking listen to it. Double it up.
And also, whether you like us or hate us, give us 5 stars.
But then you can say whatever that you want in the review.
Yeah, say whatever you want. Just give us the 5 stars.
Yeah, what are we at on Apple?
We're 5 stars. We should look at that real quick. We're 5 stars on most of them.
Yeah, but we need a lot more reviews.
Oh yeah, we need more. So
to make it even.
Yeah, if you're listening, that's your other bit of homework is
8 ratings. Not bad.
Yeah, 8 ratings. We know we have more than 8 listeners. We know there's more than 8 people in the Discord. Take 5 minutes. Maybe we'll post it in the Discord too. Take 5 minutes to just go give us 5 stars and rate us. Except for Muffin Top Model, who doesn't want to use any Apple products.
Yeah. Well,
oh, I get it.
There's no longer Google. I guess you go on Spotify and rate us.
I know Google Podcast was leaving. Is it actually gone?
I haven't looked it up because I don't have to manage it.
It's such a bummer.
Our host takes care of it.
Oh, that's really nice. I have to manage all those in mine, but I actually use Google Podcasts for certain specific podcasts. And it looks like it's still up for now, but I know April 2nd, it will no longer be available. You know what I think? I think we should maybe let the greatest PA announcer in the history of the world take it away.
You don't want to tell people? I was going to say, you're so good at doing that. Onyx at @AaronLingley, Aaron Lingley. That's my personal one. What about you?
Yep. I'm at Legal Minded Punk on there and on Instagram. And you can, we don't really post much, but you can follow our Instagram. It would SFC_scuttlebutt, I believe, on there. So give it. It's funny because I'm on there and I get to see lots of posts from Randy because it highlights it every time she posts so that I see them.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a private one for Randy. So you got lucky. I don't even know how to do Instagram. How do I find out what our fucking hand? Yeah, Sounders_scuttlebutt. Easy. You know what? Yeah. If we get a bunch of followers on there, we'll be active on it. I know that. That's pretty much the only reason that I use X now is because that's where the show is. That's our social. We have all our 550 or whatever followers on there. So it's a lot easier just to be like, hey, new episode. But I know Instagram is more popular, especially now. And I only have 2 hands and I'm an old soul. So I'd rather focus on one social media platform. So go follow that one and we will start posting.
Also, RIP Richard Lewis, longtime great comedian, passed away today at 76. A lot of Curb. People know him from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
But he's been, maybe a misanthrope is the right word to use, comedian for a long time, a little curmudgeonly. He was before all the current alt comedians that like I grew up with. So he was slightly before my time, but, obviously was a forefather to all the comedians I end up loving, like David Cross and Chris Rock and people like that. So, RIP, man.
Yeah. Good head of hair too. Great head of hair.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Well, let's hope we see another set of, Palo. Great. Wow, that's going to be... I was trying to segue to De La Vega and his beautiful hair. Because he looked great on the field, man. Just his hair,
such
his
a
smile.
Fellow.
Yeah, we're lucky. So let's hope that he starts and let's let James take us away.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.